This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 11th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a talk with the head of the Illinois Education Association and their thoughts about education funding in this legislative session. We'll also get a forecast for the northern sections of the two states, a snowy forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. Townships in Illinois held their annual town meetings last night, meetings which are often ignored by the public. But for the second year in a row, a Champaign-Urbana group used the meeting to place non-binding national policy questions on an upcoming election ballot. And this time, a local policy question will also be included. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Champaign voters will see a referendum on their Illinois primary ballot next year, asking for more funding for recipients of township general assistance. The monthly stipend per recipient was cut in half at the start of this year after the general assistance budget was exhausted and voters rejected a township tax hike. City of Champaign Township Supervisor Linda Abernathy says she thinks this new non-binding referendum may do better.
I think that what it does is it gives real voice to the issue at hand. It puts language and articulates in a way that people can understand what it is that we're asking.
The local group AWARE used last night's annual town meetings in Champaign and Urbana to get the so-called poverty referendum and other non-binding questions on the local ballot. Last year, voters in the two cities approved an AWARE-sponsored referendum calling for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq, while another item calling for the impeachment of President Bush passed in Urbana. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Hundreds of employees of Collins and Aikman in Rantoul have received early warning notices that their factories could close. The so-called WARN notices are required within 60 days of an anticipated plant closing, laying off more than 50 employees, even if the closure doesn't happen. The auto parts maker is in bankruptcy protection and is trying to sell off its factories. It might have a buyer for the Rantoul plants in Michigan-based Cadence Innovation, but a spokesman won't discuss the implications of a possible sale. About 800 people work at Rantoul's three Collins and Aikman's plants. The next president of Eastern Illinois University will come from Texas. EIU trustees formally chose William Perry for the post yesterday after several months of interviews. Perry is currently the vice provost of Texas A&M University. The 61-year-old Missouri native will take office as EIU's 10th president July 1st, replacing the retiring Lou Henkin. Perry received his master's and doctorate in mathematics from the University of Illinois. He says he'll spend his first 6 months refining and sharpening EIU's priorities with the help of faculty, staff, students, and other community members. Illinois' largest public employee union has signed on to Governor Blagojevich's plan for a new tax. The move comes after a plan to cut some state government jobs was taken off the table, as Amanda Vinicky reports.
That AFSCME is backing the gross receipts tax should not come as a shock, says the union's president. Henry Bayer says AFSCME has long said the way Illinois' system is structured produces budget deficits, in that the state needs to bring in additional money. The tax on commercial activity, he says, meets those goals.
We've never been shy about saying it in the past. I don't know why anyone would be surprised that we would support a measure that achieves those goals.
AFSCME's endorsement comes a day after news that Governor Blagojevich will no longer lay off about 200 union members who work in prisons, something AFSCME had vociferously opposed. Bayer and the Blagojevich administration deny the endorsement is part of any deal. But Republican Bill Black of Danville says it's naive to believe that.
I don't think there's any question about the timing is too coincidental.
Black says he doesn't blame AFSCME, as he says prison layoffs would have put frontline workers and inmates at risk. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A state climatologist says Illinois got a head start on spring last month with above-average temperatures. The state had the sixth warmest March on record, as Krista Kakowski reports.
Temperatures soared into the high 70s at the end of last month, but dropped below freezing more recently. That's been frustrating for fruit growers and farmers trying to get crops in the ground. Jim Angel, a state climatologist, says the early warm weather has played havoc with plants.
What you had at the end of March was any kind of plant, tree, bush, any kind of perennial was probably running about 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule. And those young leaves and young flowers were pretty vulnerable to a killer frost or killer freeze, and that's what we got in early April.
Angel says the average statewide temperature in March was 47 degrees, 5 degrees above normal. I'm Krista Kakowski.
Keeping sidewalks clear from snow could be a requirement in at least parts of Champaign, going by the opinions expressed by council members last night. The city council discussed whether to require that residents and businesses clear snow from their sidewalks after a heavy snowfall. That requirement is the law in most Big Ten college towns, but not in Champaign or Urbana. The vice president of the University of Illinois Student Senate, Ariel Avila, told council members that snow-covered sidewalks in Campustown after February's blizzard posed a real hazard for students.
There were a lot of businesses on campus that did not plow their sidewalks at all, and there's a lot of students that had to walk over feet of snow, literally feet of snow. There were a lot of people that fell. I mean, I know people that were injured because of it.
Council members told their staff to work on an ordinance requiring that sidewalks be kept clear of snow in the campus town and downtown areas, but they weren't ready to make it mandatory for residential areas. Instead, the city would launch a public education campaign to encourage residents to keep walks clear. But several council members said they'd support extending mandatory sidewalk shoveling to the neighborhoods if simple encouragement wasn't effective. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois' largest teachers union is lined up behind Governor Al Blagojevich's proposal to launch a new business tax to boost funding for education and health care. But the Illinois Education Association's president says that does not mean the union's opposed to an alternative plan that the governor opposes, a plan that would raise the state's income tax while lowering local property taxes. All IEA President Ken Swanson wants to see is the end of what he says is chronic state underfunding. Swanson says the IEA would support a tax swap bill filed in both the House and Senate as Bill No. 750, but the governor's proposed new tax on gross business receipts would produce badly needed funding quicker.
The current system is absolutely broken. It has created too many situations in both higher ed and in pre-K-12 where our public school system does not have the resources it needs to do the right thing for our students.
What about the specific Senate bills, which Senator Jones, as you mentioned, says he's not going to pass?
Well, I think we have to wait and see. You've been around long enough to see what happens in legislative sessions, and we've got a long way to go till the end of May when the legislative session is scheduled to end. I am optimistic that something will be done. It may end up looking a little different than any of the current proposals, be it the governor's and the Senate president's, be it, I think you're referring to House Bill 750, which is an alternative plan, which also meets many of our criteria. At the end of the day, what is critically important is that something sustainable and systemic is done. And I believe that will happen because the debate now is not about do we have a crisis in Illinois. The debate is entirely about how do we fix it.
The senator and the governor have both said, don't support House Bill 750, support our plan. Is it contradictory to support both of them?
I think at this point what is important is for every citizen of this state to support the idea that we have to have a plan that is sustainable, it is reliable, and it is something that leaves Illinois business competitive for the long run, because the school funding reform and taxation reform all has to be about positioning this state to be competitive in the global economy of the 21st century with highly educated citizens who can fit into that economy.
Would that require an increase in either sales or income taxes, which the governor has said he will not support?
It's going to require a significant increase in the revenue stream. It is up to the governor, the leaders, and the legislators to figure out what they can pass that will do that. That is the challenge before them. The governor and the Senate president have put forward a plan that they believe they can pass, that we believe meets the criteria that we've laid out. And so that's why we are supportive of that plan. But I want to reemphasize, at the end of the day, when we get to the end of May, what the citizens of this state need to do is demand that this be done this year. No more waiting. No more putting off these difficult decisions. Let's get it done this year.
What about Senate or House Bill 750? You mentioned that there are some portions of that bill that you agree with. Isn't it a totally acceptable bill in your mind? And are there problems?
Well, it certainly addresses the idea of systemic long-term funding reform. The governor and the Senate president's plan does provide more funding sooner. So in that sense, it's a net gain over 750. 750 has a lot of the same goals that the governor and the Senate president's plan have. If, in fact, the governor has made it clear, as he has, that at this point he is going to veto any kind of sales tax expansion or income tax increase, then you're looking at a plan that would have to have a two-thirds vote in both houses of the legislature, whereas if the governor and Senate president's plan can be passed with simple majorities in both houses, he'll sign that bill.
Illinois Education Association President Ken Swanson says even if the governor's plan prevails, lawmakers still need to address funding inequities in future years. His group is organizing rallies in Springfield, April 25th for higher education and May 2nd for preschool, elementary, and secondary schools. Central Illinois should not see much snow at all, if any at all. But the situation's much different to the north. A winter storm warning is in effect until tonight for many counties in northwestern Illinois. Joe Davey, Stevenson, Carroll, and Whiteside. 6 to 8 inches of snow are in the forecast in that area. Galena, Freeport, Sterling, and Rock Falls. The Moline, Rock Island, Quad Cities area has a winter weather advisory in effect until 7 o'clock for 1 to 3 inches of snow. And a snow advisory is in effect for the Rockford area, Winnebago, Boone, McHenry, and all the way as far east as Lake County until 4 a.m. tomorrow. In northwestern and north central Illinois today, cloudy with snow. Elsewhere in the far north, cloudy with rain and snow. And in central and southern Illinois and Indiana, cloudy with some rain, some thunderstorms to the south, and highs ranging from 32 in far northwest Illinois to 62 in the far south. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says for tonight in far northern Illinois, snow with 4 to 8 inches likely in spots. Elsewhere in the north, periods of snow. In central sections, rain showers changing to snow showers. Then in the south, scattered rain showers and thunderstorms tonight. Lows from 26 in northwest Illinois to 40 in southeast Indiana. For tomorrow, in northern and central Illinois, cloudy with some lingering snow showers and flurries early. In northern Indiana, cloudy with snow showers. And in central Indiana, cloudy with some rain and snow showers. Southern portions of the two states, mostly cloudy, a few scattered sprinkles early, and highs ranging from 40 north to 57 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.